Well, again, everybody, and welcome back to your daily edition of the Trade Podcast of Joy on this beautiful morning. Today is Thursday, January 17th. How are you, my dear friend? I hope that you are enjoying this first month of the year, almost to the end of it, halfway through it. It's been raining here in SoCal the last three, four days. It's a little different for us. We've never seen this much rain in decades, but thankful and glad to be here with you, talking today to you about two big lessons that you need to learn in 2019. And the two lessons are, first of all, is self-awareness, and the second one being compassion. Self-awareness and compassion. So I want to talk to you about these things because, as usual, these are things that I'm learning myself, lessons that God is taking me through that I believe are crucial for me to have success and to have a happy life for years to come. So self-awareness, here's what this means. You might think, let's say that you are a very kind person, right? You think you're patient. You believe certain things about yourself, that you're very slow to anger. But maybe the reality is that you have an anger problem. That maybe you should take some anger management classes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Speaking from experience. And so the gap or the distance between A and B, what you think about yourself and maybe what the truth is usually called self-awareness. There's also this thing of maybe this third part, which is what you think people think of you. And this gets pretty crazy if you start going down that rabbit hole. But let's just stick with the first two. What you think about yourself and then what the truth is. And that truth is subjective. It might be what people say, it might be what people tell you, but let's just lump them all in terms of what the reality is. So in my life, this issue of anger is one that has come up a lot for me. I would say for a while, maybe 10, maybe longer, 20 years. And I trace it back to how I was raised, to maybe my background. But really, it's just a matter of, it's just me. I mean, anger and frustration and all those things are just a part of who I am. And I remember I was at this one church once, and they were doing a talk on conflict resolution. And I remember thinking, I don't need that. Wow, did I need it? I went, and it was really amazing. So self-awareness is accepting your reality. No matter how young or how old you are, the quicker that you can be self-aware, and I think stay in that self-awareness, the better you will be. I think the problem for us is when we think, let's say, back to frustrations and anger, that you're a very patient person, but no one around you feels that way. Everyone feels that you are not a very patient person, for the most part, right? We're not anything 100% of the time. You might be very patient most of the time. So you have to ask yourself, who am I really? What's the proof in the pudding? Do I feel upset? Am I more upset? Do I get more upset than the average person? Now, how do you become self-aware? Well, obviously, feedback. And feedback always to me sounds like some survey, but feedback is a lot of things. Feedback is personal, is what you know about yourself. Feedback is from God, meaning if you're praying, asking God for his thoughts, or maybe you're reading his word, or you hear a message, or you have a conviction from the Holy Spirit, that's feedback. And of course, feedback is from people, from what they say, or even what they don't say. It could be their actions. Do they like to call you back? Or when they think of you, do they think, uh-oh, here's an angry person? So all of that is feedback. And so that's the number one way to become self-aware. Number two is to do personality tests and to begin to examine your tendencies as compared to maybe a standardized test per se. So maybe it's not anger that you deal with, but maybe you you think that you're always on time, but when you take tests and you take all these different personality tests online or whatever, you realize that you actually are a procrastinator or that you tend to show up late to meetings. And so a test might be a very good way to be honest with yourself. And I think third maybe is, here's one that's really painful. A third way to be self-aware, to know who you really are, is really by noticing the people that you don't like. Yes, the people that you don't like often reflect back to us who we really are. So let's say you someone is very analytical and you're always criticizing how they're heartless, they're not very, I don't know, compassionate, and we'll get to compassion here. They're always in their head thinking about numbers and thinking about the data, and you're upset at that person because, or whatever, for whatever reason. Well, I've learned along my journey that I probably don't like that person because they are me. I am them. And yes, you may not be as bad as they are. At least that's what we hope. But my guess is that you're upset at that person because you see yourself in them without realizing it. So now, what do you do then when you deal with this reality check and you feel, I don't know, like changing, or maybe you feel mad, or maybe you're defensive. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm always on time. Well, that's when you, as I said, you want to learn some tools. You want to go to the scriptures and read. Let's say you're someone who, yeah, is lazy and procrastinates. You may want to read the Proverbs, where it talks about the slug and the person who is lazy and the dangers of that. You may want to change your habits. So the whole thing of, if you're always late to meetings or half the time you're late, is to change your habits and to wake up earlier, or to, in my case, I'm always late to things because I try to pack way too many things up until the last minute. So maybe eliminate a few of those things. I think maybe to flip all this around, with all that said, I think that one of the greatest ways to manage self-awareness is actually to see yourself as a gift. To realize that who you are is a real gift to the world. Instead of seeing self-awareness as only negative, which is, even in the last few minutes here, kind of sounds like self-awareness is just being aware of all the bad things in your life, right? Well, I don't think that that's the case. Self-awareness, at least in my life, I think should include, and maybe should be mostly about, your gifts and your strengths. That's why the whole Strengths Finder test, speaking of tests, was popular. I'm not a big fan of that test. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I think it's trying to get to the right thing. It's trying to help us focus on what's good about us, right? And so, self-awareness, something you may want to practice, is to think about all of your good qualities. Okay, so maybe you are always late, but on the flip side of that, you're listening to podcasts, and so you're learning a lot about business, or about cooking, or maybe you're into music, and so you're listening to podcasts on how to be a better singer. So that's the positive aspect of being late. It's not just that you're late, it's that you're really, that you're a learner, that you're someone who loves to learn. When it comes to anger, yes, of course, frustration is never good. The Bible is clear that there are levels, and anger gets worse the more you let it control you. But on the flip side of anger, maybe you're someone who God can use in the area of justice, let's say against, I don't know, cruelty to animals, or maybe climate change or immigration laws. And I don't mean that you should be angry in those areas. I mean that maybe instead of anger, you can call yourself, or I'm not saying mask or lie to yourself, but I'm just saying maybe instead of an angry person, really what's inside of that is a heart for justice. And so the only thing you have to always watch for is to make sure that your justice leads to peace, not to war. And so my point here is that you don't have to see everything as negative. Self-awareness shouldn't be making a list of all the horrible things about yourself and then trying to be better. I think I've heard statistics that you should only focus 10% of your time on your weaknesses. And you really should focus 90% of your life, your time, on your strengths. And I think that's right on. Okay, so that's the first goal or the first thing in that I think we should focus on in 2019 is being self-aware. At least that's a big one for me. And the second one is area of compassion. Maybe empathy is another a better word for it. And that's to put yourself in other people's shoes. People say that the political climate is at fault for our lack of empathy. I think it's just human nature. But perhaps, maybe all the stuff we watched certainly in the last 2 years, maybe not so much this year, but in 2016, 17 for sure, maybe all of that affected all of us. It probably did. But I think that empathy is a gift from God. I have a friend who is, I think, is very... It's just a really empathetic friend. And I was asking him, so tell me more about that. And he was telling me that it's about putting yourself in other people's shoes, walking a mile in their shoes, as they say. And to be honest, I never do that. I hardly think about people's journey or what they're going through. And that's part of being an achiever, Enneagram 3, all these things, ENTJ, whatever I am. It's just I'm usually thinking about what could be different and about what I want in terms of changing the world. And so empathy, I would say I have a very low, low number, a low level of empathy. So, and I don't think that's bad always, but I don't think that's good either. I think we should have empathy because... Anyway, we just should. So how do you increase in empathy? Well, the other day I went to see a friend who goes to my church. She is a young mom. And all I could see from the outside, just knowing her the last year, is that she works, obviously, and she has a baby now. And I sort of know her boyfriend or the man in her life, but I don't really know him too well. And so I wanted to get to know her, so I went to see her. And as I heard her story, it was not about having a baby or about what happened or about child support. It was about, as she was telling me, really just all that led to her being in that relationship. And these really, some are painful things, some are normal things, but most of all, it was just human behavior. And as I heard her story, I thought, you know, I can see myself doing the same thing. In fact, I have done very similar things. And so I think that when you hear people's stories and you then develop empathy, often what it does is it unites us. You realize how screwed up we all are and how we all need help. We all need forgiveness. Or as a lot of therapists like to say is everyone should be in therapy. I don't know if that's the case, if that's true, but we definitely all should be asking God to forgive us. And so how do you know if you're not empathetic? Well, I think just ask yourself, do you think about people a lot or mostly about yourself? Now, depending again on the Enneagram, there might be half of you out there that you would say, no, I'm very empathetic. And so, as I always say, please teach us your ways because the other half of us need that. Now, the other half of us, it's not that we don't care. It's just that we tend or we lean towards thinking about ourselves. I mean, yeah, we all do, but you know what I mean. Some of us are more driven, and so therefore we are always fighting or struggling to not walk all over people on our way to success, and that's more my struggle. But as I've sat down with people, as I've visited people in the hospital, as I've called them, as I've basically walked a mile or at least a couple of feet in their shoes, my empathy goes through the roof. It's more real. I think people can feel it. When you lack empathy, and this is, again, my case, my story, I come across, I know a lot of times I feel myself coming across as plastic or as insincere. I think that's the word, insincere. I know that when I'm speaking, when I preach on Sundays, half the time I'm telling myself, I'm so insincere. You're not really in your heart. You know, I think part of being a driven person and all these things is we're in our head a lot. We're thinking about what needs to happen, about the future, and about goals and success and achieving. That's definitely a 3 on the Enneagram. You might be different, but... And I think that I know people can feel that. And so I'm always slowing myself down. Always. And it really is, in some ways, the best part of me when I slow down. Like last night I was at church and I was just... There's a little boy that came up to me and just hugged me. And I just hugged him back. There were other 2 little boys that were pushing each other and were acting like little brats, I guess you could say. But, you know, I just had patience and empathy. Because... I know I need to, and because I want to, and you know, really what has helped me with noise or with rowdy kids, as if I wasn't one or I didn't have rowdy kids. What's helped me is the verse where Jesus says, let the children come to me because theirs is the kingdom of God. And then the other part, I think in the same area, same verse, it says that we all need to be like children, but to enter the kingdom of God, we need to be like those rowdy kids. Meaning the innocence, the vulnerability, the fact that they need help. They need a father. They need a mom. They need guidance. They need just to be kids, right? All of the above. And so empathy, I think, rises when we are in God's word, of course. Empathy rises when you walk a mile in other people's shoes. Empathy rises when you listen to people. And you listen, as they say, empathetically. Empathy rises when you stop judging others. That's the number one way to kill empathy is judgment. If you are judging people all the time, you're not going to have any empathy whatsoever. And the person on the other side can tell, and they're not going to tell you anything. But if you are someone who people like to talk to about their problems, it's probably because they feel like you're empathetic. And I think that comes from God. It comes from walking a mile in people's shoes, from listening, from spending time with them. Now, why become empathetic? Why be more self-aware in 2019? Is it because of success? Is it because you want to be more free? Is it for financial gain? Is it just to be a compassionate person? What is it to be like Christ? What exactly is this about? Well, I think it's all those things. I think it is about, I doubt it's about financial gain, but it is about being like Christ. It's about expanding the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It's about building a community of love. It's about taking back all that Satan destroyed in terms of hate and division and Facebook posts and comments. And that's why I quit Facebook 6 months ago. It was just depressing. And I feel amazing. Instagram, I quit everything. All my social medias. Now I just upload my music onto YouTube. So that's the only place, and then this podcast. It was just good to cut all this stuff out of my life. And so why do all this? Because people need your love. People need your compassion. Because there's a ton of broken people all around you, including yourself. But as my friends always tell me, there are people that are worse off than we are. Right now it's raining and I'm inside the house with heat and clothes and blah, blah, blah. There are people that live outside that are homeless, that are not, you know, that are not enjoying this rain whatsoever. And so there are people that are suffering. And the only way that we're going to heal the world is by having compassion. By being as Jesus was, a man of peace, a man of sorrows, a man who was familiar with our ways. How do you mix that with success? How do you mix compassion with making more money and having a better car and having a great body. Those are my things, right? How do you mix the two? Well, I mean, Jesus was very clear. You can't love both God and yourself. Or the verse says money, but I always take that to be anything that is my idol. Your idol might be your peace, your security, you want to be right, you're a perfectionist, you want to love everybody, it's all about your kids, it's all about freedom and fun, or you want to be in control of everyone. Whatever your idol is, could be a lust, it could be gluttony, it could be that you want to be, you want to analyze things to death. Whatever your vice is, that's the area to give to God and say, Lord, help me, forgive me, change me, restore me. I am a new creation. Lord, help me to live in that creation. I feel so lacking in compassion. I feel so unempathetic. I feel so unaware. I think I'm so amazing, and yet I'm not. And yet, Lord, help me to know that because of you, I am a saint. I am set apart for you. I am holy and beloved. I am a child of God. Help me to understand that so I can walk in empathy and show empathy to my wife, my husband, my friends, my mom, my dad. Help me, Lord, to be filled with compassion so that your kingdom, your life can be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. It says that when we are aware of our poorness, of our poverty in spirit, that's when we're really happy. That's the word blessed, is happiness. You're happy when you realize you are messed up and you need God. That's joy. That's what we call here gozo. Gozo is not just some sort of, I don't know, a raise at work or a brand new car. Gozo or joy is to know that you are a messed up person, and yet in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. You are a saint. You're forgiven because he was forsaken. Jesus forgives you for all of your messed up past, all the horrible things you've done and do and still think about. And I'm the first in line. Jesus forgives you. He's a forgiving God, full of mercy, full of compassion. And guess what? He does this so that you can then do the same thing to others. My prayer for you today is that you will walk in the forgiveness and the grace of the Father of mercies and the God of compassion. That you will stop living in shame, living in guilt, living in your BS, and your lying about who you are, who you think you are. Wherever. Whatever you need, my prayer is that you will walk in the confidence of the forgiveness of Christ. He broke, his body was broken for you. His blood was poured for you. Receive that into your body. Receive that and let that reality change how you live. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you go to davidtree.com for all my latest music and my latest blogs, my latest articles, things I'm writing. And of course, this podcast, share this with 10 friends. Just go on Facebook Messenger and send this link to your friends. Tell them, hey, you need to hear this. Come to my church on Sunday, Neighborhood Christian Fellowship in Bellflower. Look it up, 9603 Belmont, 1030 English, 1230 Espanol. Thank you again. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.